And welcome to another edition of the Blues Day Recap. New York Knicks, New York Giants, New York Yankees, New York Rangers, Bleed Blue Show. And looking forward to this week action in sports. First and foremost with the New York Rangers. A huge Game 7. Huge Game 7 versus the Washington Capitals. A Wednesday night Game 7 at the Garden on Wednesday night. And I'm really looking forward to this. I am excited. Ecstatic. We have forced the Game 7, as we said, or as I particularly have said, even from the start of the series, or even before the start of the series, that this thing was going 7 games. Never had I imagined that it would have went the 7 games the way they have done it, down 3-1, but the Rangers are no stranger to this. So, you know, with the last year coming off, down 3-1 to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and a familiar foe. Now, we got to keep this in perspective. The New York Rangers have played the Capitals at least a good 6 to 7 times in the postseason over the years, especially this last 10 years, per se. Multiple times. These guys know each other. They're in the same division. They know each other's tendencies. They know these strengths. They know the weaknesses. This is classic chess, okay? Classic chess, and I'll tell you why. The Rangers, it was about, and I said this on the Rink podcast on the post games, that it was about cracking that Braden Holtby, the code. It was cracking the code. And in order to crack the code, and I think they figured it out, is use the New York Rangers speed. But on top of that, that was number one. On top of that, it's the patience. And I think they're figuring it out that the Capitals, they're not the better team in the series. The Rangers are the superior team in the series. But instead of trying to go everything at 100 miles per hour against the Capitals, you got to utilize your speed in stretches and be smart with your patience. And your patience meaning had to get around those damn block shots. And the Capitals have done an excellent job defensively. Getting around to blocking a lot of the point of the attack shots by the New York Rangers. And they're going to figure it out in Game 7. Now, the goaltending by Henry Lundqvist, number 30, has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Henry Lundqvist has been doing his thing. He is the leader. He's the guy in between the nets for us, where He has shown flashes as of last postseason as the brilliant saves. There's a lot of the saves I couldn't even believe he made in the Capitals Game 6 in D.C. It's falling into place, because if the Rangers prevail, and I expect them to in Game 7, we will be doing the Game 7, the post game, the podcast, the Rink podcast, after Game 7, after the game on Wednesday night. But this is prevailing great, knowing that if they do prevail, or as they say, when they should prevail and beat the Capitals, they'll still have the home ice advantage because they're the President's Trophy winners. But the Tampa Bay Montreal Canadiens series has prolonged itself. It was a series that I thought Tampa Bay, or we all thought Tampa Bay was going to finish Montreal maybe in a sweep or even in 5 once it got started. But now that that's starting to catch itself up, even though the Tampa Bay could put them away, could put Montreal away, that series, they have caught themselves up. It's a full-out war. Ryan Callahan is not playing for the Tampa Bay Lightning because he had an emergency surgery. But if we're to forecast this thing as New York Rangers fans, you want to play the team who hasn't had as much rest and it's coming off a war just like you are. And I think it'll be to the New York Rangers' advantage. If they get past Washington, or when they do, however you want to look at it, they have to up-look and probably play a Tampa Bay or Montreal team that's going to give them hell. And these are one of the two top teams in the East, besides the New York Rangers. The Rangers have played Montreal well, but they haven't played Tampa Bay well. But let's focus on Washington. Let's not get too far ahead to win this series. Chris Kreider has been amazing in this series. Chris Kreider has been simply amazing. And in order, he may need to get a goal on the scoreboard or maybe an assist to, as far as contributions. Rick Nash got into the scoring column. They had a 4-1 lead, a lead as big as 4-1 in game six. They held on to dear life, winning 4-3. It's a heartbreaking because you wanted to see Rangers, you know, have a dominant win. I don't know if that 4-3 loss to, well, by the Capitals, I don't know if that builds in any some sort of momentum going into game. So I don't think it does. I think that the Rangers did an excellent job of putting in goals and getting to a early 4-1 lead in the third period and holding on to dear life. They showed that Holtby, he's been playing very good hockey, but he is not invincible. Like the defense line, whether it's Brooks Orpik or Mike Green for the Capitals, they have done an excellent job with the block shots. Oh, the Bees line with Bernakovsky, Jay Beagle. They have done an excellent job moving the puck along the boards and they even forcing to block a lot of those block shots. For the Rangers, giving them hell until the Rangers finally figured it out ever since the overtime game when they were on the brink of elimination last time they were at the Garden with the deflected goal by Derek Stepan and on the overtime goal by Ryan McDonagh. Well, actually was set up by a Derek Stepan fake shot and pass to snipe and pass Holtby. So here we are looking at game seven, and they have done an excellent job the last couple of games on Alex Ovechkin, and it has to continue. Alex Ovechkin, it seemed like he was, not it was a seem, he was dominating the series, thin and through. He was dominating, and they kind of slowed him up, putting bodies at him on all times, whether it was Dan Girardi, Ryan McDonagh, Mark Staal, whoever the defensive pairings were, even Dan Boyle trying to check him a little bit. They have done a phenomenal job on Alex Ovechkin. In order to win Game 7, he has to stay off the scoring sheet. He cannot get an assist. He can't get a second assist. You definitely forget about goals. A slap shot, power play goal. You got to keep him in check. You have to continue to keep him in check. Keep him quiet off the board. Let that other line try to beat you or attempt to beat you. Do not let Joel Ward, who's been having a field day in front of the net, in front of Henrik Lundqvist, get on the board. Whether it's a point of attack from the defense position from Mike Green, Alex Ovechkin, whatever, or even Chimera gets on the board, you guys got to definitely got to deal with that first line. Absolutely have to take care of it. Now, as far as the New York Rangers, we know the status of Ryan McDonagh. He got walloped by Alex Ovechkin in that game six. And he should be probable to go. And the captain's definitely going to be on the ice. Got to have that defensive appearance with him and Girardi. That's number one. Number two, I think this was a little bit of a monkey off Rick Nash's back. Getting into the scoring column the way he did. He's been doing a decent job defensively. He's a big body guy, number 61. We're gonna need him. We're gonna need everybody. We all hands on deck on this one. Everybody needs to contribute. We need to get out of the series, and hopefully, if or when we do get past Washington, if we play a sound game, play mistake free, do not cost any turnovers in your own zone, and leaving the goalie naked by himself. And unexpectedly, well, that's the key word, unexpectedly, and the Rangers should win. Now, the status of, looking forward, and we'll get into that, we'll see how this goes on Wednesday night, but the status of Matt Zuccarello, he's desperately needed back into the lineup. The side history is on the side of the New York Rangers. Henrik Lundqvist has a phenomenal record in Game 7s. The Rangers have played a million game sevens in the last few years. It's all ready, man. I can't wait for game seven. I sure can't wait for game seven. And we'll see how this goes. We definitely will see how this goes. I think Zuccarello is going to be in attendance for game five, avoiding an elimination for the last couple of games. And now it's do or die for both teams. definitely do or die for both teams. And I would like to see, if there's a couple of Rangers I would like to get involved. Broussard, for one. Martin St. Louis. Let me see. Derek Stepan may be another guy, too. I know Broussard had a little issues with the shoulder after that hit in Game 6. And hopefully he's 100% ready to go, too. And there's that rumblings out of D.C. of Alex Ovechkin pulling a Mark Messier. He guarantees a win in Game 7. He hasn't really scored since Game 2 of the series. And hopefully we keep it that way. Keep him in check. This is, you know, these hockey moments do not want him to go off and create a playoff moment, not to the expense of the New York Rangers. So good luck to our New York Rangers, and we will see how this goes. Game 7 Wednesday night at the Garden, and it's going to be rocking. That place is going to be blued out, Rangers Town, NYR, LGR, all that stuff. And we can't wait to see the outcome of the game, hopefully in a New York Rangers win, and go from there. So let's transition real quick to the New York Yankees, and congratulations to number 52, the big guy, CC Sabathia, first win of the season, pitched effectively well at Tampa Bay on Monday night, and he got a lot of run support from the Yankees this time around, even holding on to that 5-1 lead. The Yankees were up in that three-run home run by Brett Gardner over the center field fence, part of the fence in center field. The Yankees are playing very well. They got to continue going now. CC was probably in the starting rotation, was the missing piece as far as getting on the board, as far as being effective. If you got other starters have made their contributions. CC has some excellent starts this season. Whether he just bombed out versus a better pitcher that night or just didn't get run support, they finally had where the two worlds meet, where we got an effective performance out of CC Sabathia. And on top of that, we got the run support. And they put away Tampa Bay, who's second in the division and is playing, you know, pretty good baseball themselves. You want to put the cleats to the neck. You want to continue to win series. Last week, there was a little bit of a stumble at Toronto in the winning the series department. They won the last series against Baltimore 3-4. And all these divisional games, the first 2 months of the season, are detrimental as far as tiebreakers later on in the season. So, you know, congratulations to CC Sabathia winning his first game of the year. He's probably 1-5 right now on the start. Now, let me go back to Sunday's game, the Baltimore game. Michael Pineda, I guess I could say congratulations to you too, man. 16 strikeouts. That was a brilliant, beautiful performance. The Baltimore Orioles cannot figure him out in the lineup. They cannot figure him out at all. He was just mowing down batters. It's, the stronger the game went, the more strikeouts he was getting. He kept guys off beat with the fastball, the sliders, all speed pitches, you name it. He looks very, very good. And in the absence of Masahiro Tanaka as the number one starter, and right now he's sitting at, 5-0 on the season? And he's got ace stuff. He's got ace stuff right now. And we had a question on the Dugout podcast on Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock a.m. to noon. You definitely hear the live Yankees talk with the Bleed Blue Show fans, the stakeholders on that platform, when we were talking New York Yankees baseball, about how long can the duo of Michael Pineda and Nathan Eovaldi keep up with the Yankees, who are leading currently in the division, about 9 games over 500. How long can they keep this up? I'm kind of apprehensive about this because it hasn't gotten humid enough to guys, the bodies to wear down, to slow up performance, and it's a whole different animal once it gets like 90 degrees and the humidity is like at 200. So I'm apprehensive because that's the kind of the fan I am. Now, as far as what they're doing thus far, it has been spectacular. That's not to discredit Adam Warren and also Chase Whitley, who supposedly the spot starter. He's pretty much the fifth starter at this point. So we get some more arms back, but he's even pitched well. he's pitched very well too himself. And gotta give credit to the Yankees bats to Jacoby Ellsbury, who's been hitting very well. Brett Garner getting it on base. That's it. Really starts with those two at the top of the lineup, respectively. Their batting averages is in well over 300. Not only that, Jacoby Ellsbury is top three in steals in the league. He's top 10 in OPS. Right now, in this current stretch, we're getting our money's worth out of him. And although I am apprehensive about him because he's also had one of those injury histories when he was a member of the Red Sox, but thus far as a New York Yankee in second year, as a pinstriper, he's been playing very, very well because it's jump-starting the offense. Now, the sluggers, 3-7, have to get it going to a degree, too. They're hitting a million home runs. Teixeira hit another one last night. He's one of the major league leaders in home runs. But these guys don't hit for average. That's the issue I have with the squad because that don't really work in the postseason. Hitting a million home runs between May and August is a cool and all. And it gets fans in the seats, and we all love the home run ball and baseball. But that doesn't mean that translates into postseason baseball because as of right now, out of the gate, teams that are doing well in the American League, we're talking about teams like the Astros, the Kansas City Royals, teams that have actually good pitching. And that could become it's real early in the process, but if things are going the way they are going right now, that could become a problem later on and you're trying to get on base, you're trying to move runners. You could get on base with Ellsbury and Garner if they're healthy. There's timely hitting time, a hit and run situation, stealing bases, getting guys from second to third, fielder's choices, bunting over, however you want to look at it. Those guys have played well, and then they're the jumpstart of the offense because the pitching has held it down for the most part all season. Starters especially. The bullpen, Andrew Miller leads the league in saves. He's probably about 15 right now. The setup men, whether it's get Carpenter going, Wilson going, Rogers going, Adelin Betances is going. The bullpen has been very well. Couldn't ask any more out of the bullpen. 100% save opportunities out of our closer. That's pretty much is going to be the order for the rest of the season. We had our questions about that early on, who was going to set up, who's going to close. I think those questions have been answered. So, and like I said, congratulations to CC Sabathia on his win. Hopefully we could get him going because he has put in the innings pitch on his roster. He just hasn't gotten the wins to translate like some of the other guys on the roster. So if you could go Pineda, Evaldi, CC, I take that back. Pineda, CC Sabathia, Evaldi, Warren, and Whitley. And then now you have a situation where Ivanova, he should be about a month out. And there should be no extensive rush. This is the good part of the starting pitcher right now filling in. Him and Tanaka. Now, Tanaka is soft tossing balls right now, probably in the 25 to 40 pitch sessions right now trying to get back. There's no rush on him. He's coming off that elbow surgery. And then now he got the tendonitis in the wrist. Now, we don't want to rush that back. Take your time, guys. Take your time, guys, in the minors. We want to see. This is a good problem to have a lot of good arms and even more arms coming out of that bullpen. And we will see how this goes. We will definitely see how this goes. Let me jump into the New York Giants and also with the Yankees. One last thing on the podcast. You can check that out. Like any other of the shows, KGYR, BleeBlueShow.com. The archives on the iTunes Podcast Republic. The podcast, it was great dialogue. Great, great dialogue. Talking New York Yankees every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. to noon. New York football Giants. Here's the New York Giants. We already concluded the rookie camps with the two-day program last weekend and then jumping into OTAs at the end of the month. Pretty much a three-week session per se. New York football Giants, it comes down with me personally. I allow the round table to do their thing Sundays, 6 p.m. On Sundays. You can check out those guys on BleeBlueShow.com for the live streams and also the caller number for that. But it's a great discussion. It's a great dialogue between New York Football Giants fans on a step-by-step process, week by week on the off-season journey into the training camp and also the regular season, or preseason and the regular season. So my biggest issue with the New York Football Giants, as it has been for like the last decade, has been a significant amount of injuries, particularly the injured reserve list. We got to stay off that list. I think we have an opportunity to have a solid, sound football team. They just need reps together at the same time. Of course, guys get hurt. Of course, guys get banged and bruised and bottled up. But with the New York Giants, it's all about staying healthy. And, well, with the addition of Landon Collins, strong safety, University of Alabama, Crimson Tide, I love his contributions, specifically Saturday last week, leading, organizing, calling the shots, being the vocal leader for the Giants, because that was one thing I was apprehensive. It could have felt better from a New York Football Giants perspective with the intangibles, because when we let Antrell Roller walk and he went and signed with the Chicago Bears, that was my number one concern. One of my number one concerns was who's going to be the vocal leader on the defense. And you got a guy like Landon Collins who's going to be a Pro Bowler in this league. He can tackle his ass off. He's a torpedo. He, as far as coming into the ball, he's a great instinct for the ball. I do think he does struggle with the deep ball, but that's not going where his position is going to be on this team. Hopefully not, depending on the scheme, what Spagnuolo wants to do. But neither here or there, I like the vocal leadership. And this comes to respect, because when you play for Nick Saban, you're going to have to be a vocal leader in that secondary, on that the back seven, the back six or seven on the defense. And as a strong safety, we needed that. We need to shore up that position with guys leaving, or whether it's injuries or suspensions kicked off the team, however you want to look at it. It's going to be a long journey. In your Football Giants roundtable is every Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the BleedBlueShow.com live stream. We definitely take the New York Football Giant fans' emails and anything, tweets and all that other stuff, messages. It could be all sent to the Bleed Blue Show. Get your stuff read on the air and be a part of the dialogue. If you can or can't be there, you can always go back and listen to into the archives. Now, as far as football, and this Tom Brady stuff, I had to get a quick 2 cents. And I'll go back to the Giants before I move on to the last team in the sport. I think the crime, the punishment, they all equal each other out. I think Tom Brady with the 4 games, deliberately not being cooperative with the investigation on this deflate ball stuff. I think 4 games was the perfect number. I think anything less would have been a slap on the wrist, and I think anything more would have been too harsh. And you're talking about compromising air in the football, whether it's a bad rule or a good rule, however you want to do it, because I think it should be determined on how the quarterback of those particular that team, how he wants to operate. But if the NFL wants to come down and be hold the rules and, hey, this is the weight, that's the rules. And it was part of the CBA a few years back when they were on in the holdouts stages, borderline strikes. So here's the thing with Brady. If he comes out a little cocky, a little arrogant, and this may a little bit humble, or it may piss him off, or a little bit of both. The first 4 games of the season, you know he's going to want to play in that Thursday night opener versus the Steelers. That's a big game to a lot of guys, because you're coming off fresh off the Super Bowl. You want to be acknowledged as the Super Bowl champ, first game since the Super Bowl. And for him not to play that game, that may get to him a little bit. It may get to him a little bit. And as a Football Giant fan, it pisses me off. All right? It pisses me off that the Cowboys get to play him, play the Patriots without him playing. And so on the schedule, you might as well pencil in a win for the Cowboys. That's a non-conference win for them. So, and they missed the tiebreaker. Good for them. But it's almost getting a little out of hand with the Brady stuff. I just wanted to get my 2 cents in. I think all I had to say was, hey, with the independent report and the probable stuff, they couldn't even get a hard conviction on it. I think, and he had a lot to do with it, and deny and be straight up lying about it. the Goodell and the NFL office had no other choice but to suspend them and show that they had integrity. And that was the big picture of them. It was not even about Brady, per se, how many games he's going to lose or gain or whatever, or he may even get some appeal. But it was more about the NFL having integrity of all this off-field stuff with other players, and it kind of restores some credibility to Roger Goodell in the office. And as far as the football Giants, like I said, guys, continue to stay healthy, stay healthy, stay healthy. The roundtable will definitely resume. And have some fun in the offseason. We'll have some fun in the offseason, some episodes, some themes going on to get the New York football Giant fans engaged, Bleed Blue Show stakeholders, tune in. And that's pretty much it. And then last but definitely not least, New York Knicks. And let me say this before I even get into the Knicks and who's on the current roster. I didn't really speak too much on it. We haven't done a lot of fan forums lately, but we will definitely be picking that up in the next upcoming weeks. Definitely throughout the whole summer months and the Vegas League and all that. When I see Pablo Prigioni on the Rockets, Mari Stoudemire on the Dallas Mavericks, well, you know, they're eliminated. Shumpert, J.R. Smith, like all these former Knicks, Felton, a lot of these former Knicks that are other teams in the playoffs, it kind of bothers me to a degree. It sucks because, you know, you want to see these guys excel. And a lot of these guys, you latch on to them personally as far as becoming fan favorites. And good luck for them in the playoffs. But as a Knicks fan, that kind of bothered me to see a lot of these other Knicks playing for other teams. I just had to get that out there on the off my chest real quick. Now, the pursuit of Greg Monroe, I think he's a fine player. He's maybe not a max player. I think he's one of those guys. He's more of a, he's somewhere in between mid-level and max. But the Knicks will probably have to overpay him because he's more a fit to the system of what the triangle is all about. Greg, he's a great passer. He's going to go down low, do all the dirty work for Carmelo if he's to become on the team. I think adding him will be an asset to the team. It will help more than hurt to get him on the team. I know he wants out of Detroit. So welcome Greg Monroe. You could tell Steve, you know, Steve, Bleed Blue Show Steve says, hey, bring on Greg Monroe. Now, another max player, I don't see, they're probably going to hold out that money to 2016. We'll see what they do with that. And as far as the lottery system, that's probably in a week. As far as where we're going to finally find out, Knicks fans, New York Knicks fans, we're going to finally find out where the hell we pick in this damn draft. And if anything outside of top two is unacceptable, we finished second from bottom of the league in the worst record. We're second from last from worst record. Minnesota holds that crown. Give us the number one or number two pick. I, of course, prefer number one so we get googly eye whether we go with Okafor or Anthony Towns. With the winner of the first two picks, and all these reports and about Towns really embracing New York and embracing Phil, that's a little too much. I mean, they got to put on a show because they know those guys know they're going to be on one of those two teams, so they got to kiss those teams' asses. So we got to put that out there. We can't this stuff. Some of it may be true, but that's a little bit overboard. I mean, going all out about how he Phil knows how to win. No shit, Sherlock. Like, of course he knows how to win. He's won 11 championships as a coach and two as a player. We all know that. So he knows that he's playing good chess with the politics as far as being selected. Talking about Anthony Towns, so. It's not going to be any disappointment. He's a Jersey guy. I don't know exactly what team he rooted for when he was growing up. But as far as the Knicks, it really comes down to that. You can forget about Marc Gasol. If they do lose, now let me go back to the Grizzlies series, to the Warriors. If the Grizzlies do lose to the Warriors, Marc Gasol, what's the chances of him going to the Knicks? I still think it's slim to none, but it's a little bit better than if they do progress. But I'm personally not for him on a max deal at 30 years old. I'm not for it. I may be a little different than a lot of Knicks fans, but I don't know. Now, the Steph Curry stuff, the MVP of the NBA, how all these reports is saying how he wanted to be a Knick and how he wanted to be drafted in 2009. Well, the Knicks should have went up and grabbed him. Well, they didn't. They weren't aggressive enough, and Golden State was ahead of the Knicks at the time. So that's like water on the bridge, like 7-8 years later, or six years later. So let me get to the playoffs and the four remaining series with the Atlanta Washington series, then Chicago Cleveland. Then you got Golden State, Memphis, and then L.A. and Houston. I'll be real quick to recap these four teams. The Atlanta-Washington game, watching that game, Atlanta should be up 3-1 in the series. And they should be fortunate they're not even down 3-1. It's a tricky series, meaning John Wall only played one game in the series. And then the Hawks managed to squeeze out that game four. They play sloppy basketball. There's no excuses. They're a very balanced team. They have ball handlers. They're young. They're youthful. They got snipers. And then they kept the snipers in check. Jeff Teague had a big game. Jeff Teague had a big game, game four versus the Wizards. Bradley Beal had a big game for the Wizards in game four. But I think this is still a series for the Hawks to win. I expect the Hawks to come in and win game five. I'm not even exactly sure of the status of John Wall if he plays, because it sure shows that they definitely miss him. Not to take anything away from Ramon Sessions or Will Bynum, but John Wall is the heart and soul of this team. And Jeff Teague is going to do his thing if John Wall's not there. And I'm actually surprised to a degree that the bigs for the Hawks haven't been as dominant. Maybe because Nene Gertat is they're just enough force to neutralize Paul Millsap and Al Horford. But I expect the Hawks to come out. I think this may go seven, though. This may go seven. Hawks, and I say that each team wins each game on each other's home floor, meaning Atlanta's going to win game five, Washington game six. Atlanta wins game seven, go to the Eastern Conference Finals. That game three was a good game. That was a very good game, that game three. Coming from behind, down like, 21 points. The Hawks made pretty much a comeback with their bench. And the classic quote by the truth, Paul Pierce, I didn't call glass, I called game. That was excellent basketball. Excellent basketball. The series may not get the notoriety that the others may have. I've been in tune. I think I'm definitely going to watch a little bit of that, but it's going to be hard knowing that the Rangers is going to be on. So I'm going to have to figure out how to dual screen, how to do it. So Hawks in seven. It starts with them winning game. It's best out of three for them. Now, Cleveland and Chicago, that has been an excellent series, too. I would go, wow, I don't know. Chicago should win this, man. I mean, I think a lot of the Cleveland dudes is banged up. Like, Irving's hurt, or he's a little bit injured, and, he's hurt. I would say injured. Hurt. Shumpert's hurt. Kevin Love's not even in the series, and Kevin Love would have been in the series. I don't know what the series could have spelled out for the Cavaliers. It seems like LeBron is doing a lot of the ball handling, game winning shot in game four. Kudos to him. Chicago, I'm actually surprised. I thought they would have been up 3-1 by now, but they should. It's a toss up. Game five is a toss up. With all the injuries going to Cleveland, Chicago has proven they could go to Cleveland and win like they did in game one. It's a toss-up. The X factors for the series of former Knicks is like J.R. Smith. But I still think Chicago can win this thing in seven. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Cleveland. I think I don't even know who the favorites is right now with Vegas, but I would go with Chicago. The other two series in the West. Before I get to the Golden State series, the Houston series, Houston and Clippers. The Clippers are destroying the Rockets, and I'm a little bit surprised with that. The Rockets look shot. I mean, they're getting bombed on by the Clippers. The Clippers are destroying them. It's not even close. And I don't think Houston has the firepower. And once they kept James Harden in check, they accounted for him, whether they threw Paul on him or Matt Barnes on him. He's not getting his 32 points a game as if he was the MVP candidate. Harden looks very average out there. And they are dominating the inside. Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan is destroying the Houston Rockets. There's no answer to that. I think this is over in game five. Clippers go to Houston for game five. And the fact that they're getting production off a bench that we didn't expect for the Clippers. Austin Rivers had a very good game. Was it game three? Hitting all those shots. I mean, they're smoking the Rockets. I don't even know if the Rockets, they left their minds back in Houston when they went to L.A. to go back to Houston. So, I mean, that series hasn't been entertaining at all. It's been probably the worst series of the four remaining. And I will put the Clippers are going to the Western Conference Finals, and it's probably going to be Golden State, which is going to be a very fun series. Memphis is a team that I love. Golden State last series. Golden State and Memphis. This is a series. I thought Memphis would give Golden State trouble, as they have. As Memphis Grizzlies go, Mike Conley has to be in the lineup. There's no way other way around it. They showed in game two and showed in game three. They had a very good outing versus game three. Of course, I felt that Golden State was going to bounce back the way they did, and they sure did. Golden State is going to win game five. I don't think Memphis is going to go into that building. They lost three games all year at home, including one to the playoffs to the Memphis, but I don't think game five is going to be different. I think Golden State is going to be pumped up. Golden State could end this thing in six. I think it's going seven. I think they're going to trade home courts just like I said in the Atlanta and Washington series. I think it's going to be Golden State going to win in game five. Memphis is going to go back to Memphis game six. Golden State ends it in game seven. It's going to be Clippers, Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. And I think it may be Atlanta, Chi-Town. I think that's what's going to be in the East if it all pans out. This will be the end of the Blues Day recap. Good luck to our New York Rangers. Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers, hashtag KGYR, Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com. Of course, iTunes, Podcast Republic, and the TuneIn app for all the episodes of the Bleed Blue Show. Got a Bleed Blue, baby. Bleed Blue.